traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Floyd is the most brilliant fighter that ever lived.
You think you could do some magic and get me the rest of my paycheck?
No. I went and got a fluoroscopy, and I realized that you could actually make an aquarium in your stomach.
I always wondered that.
Yeah.
And I never wondered that.
Yeah. Bro, it's not possible!
Like, the photo we took did not exist.
What? You gotta have a crazy relationship with pain.
You have the one where you have the cups and the nail under the cups. You hit the nail once on accident.
Yep, by mistake.
We did David Blaine!
That's what we call defeat.
Do you have a vision for like a final act?
Yeah.
And now he does it.
What's up, David? Just doing breath work. I didn't think you'd walk in at that moment. I'm a little lightheaded now.
I think I should also probably be on. Let me just see. Hold on.
Whoa. Whoa, that'll be crazy. Yeah. That'll be crazy. This has never happened before.
Yeah, this is good.
Okay. All right.
These mics, we're going to have to figure out how to adjust.
Yeah, these are kind of all crap. Fine.
Get rid of this crap. Yeah.
we'll get rid of this junk and the table. No worries. Take your time. I'm just going to banter with my co-host
associate.
And big brother, my associate.
I heard, by the way, you and Mike Tyson are going to go at it.
That's no, bro. Mike Tyson fucking running his mouth about taking me down in the WWE.
You should do that.
Well, let's talk about it when you get back.
Incredible.
Yeah, it would be crazy.
I pitched to ABC 20 years ago. You know, I know Mike since I'm pretty young.
Yeah.
Since I'm like teenager, and I was always, I grew up printing t-shirts of him and wearing them. He was like, you know, guy from Brooklyn, champion of the world. And years later, when I was doing TV specials, after I'd done, like, I think I was in the block of ice, I said, the president of ABC was a guy named Alex Wallow, who was like an ex, he used to be a sporting caster or something like that.
Can I ask you a crazy question? Yeah. If you want to tell us this on the show,
aren't they rolling?
Yeah, they're rolling, but you're not.
So this is the show. This is the show. What
David,
show?
David, listen, we're on your show. Turf, bro. I want no trouble, especially with somebody that can make
this
me
this. This is the show. So back then I was saying, I knew I was going to get this shit kicked out of me, but I just wanted to go. You know, I was also the biggest fan of Rocky and Stallone. So I was just like, I wonder if I can last just one round.
No way.
No, I didn't want to get a punch in. Just could I train for a year? So I started training with Lou Duva and Tommy Brooks. I was training very seriously just to get beat up, just to take. And my goal was to, and I pitched it to Alex Wallow, having him trained a year. He said, no chance. He'll fucking slaughter you in 10 seconds. And they wouldn't back it.
Yeah.
But it was, and so when you did the Floyd thing, I was so excited. Because to me, that's like
that was the thing.
Yeah, you're fighting the best fighter in the world.
Yeah.
And you're figuring out a strategy of how, not how do I win, but how do I last?
Yeah. And that was the strategy.
I
had a good idea that I wasn't going to be able to knock him out.
No, but that's not the goal with a guy like that. Nobody, he's too fast and too smart.
But also, Floyd is not Mike Tyson.
But Floyd is the most precise and most. Floyd doesn't care who watches, who likes.
Right,
it doesn't
right,
matter.
Right.
Floyd only cares about the points.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if somebody wins because they're knocked out. If the fight is entertaining,
right.
It's for him, it's just a strategy.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like the beast of fighting. You know, beast is like, how do I get the algorithm and the numbers?
100%.
Right?
100%.
That's how Floyd is. He's very.
Do you think he's the You think he's the greatest? One of the greatest.
Every
ever,
great fighter in the world says technically there's nobody better.
Yeah.
Every single.
Easily the best counter puncher.
No,
time.
Every great best fighter. Everyone says there's nobody better, but when you're talking about wins,
right?
Not the best heavyweight champ is Mike Tyson, right. I think, right? Like the scariest guy because his force is just so
strong. It's insane. Yeah. Yeah, but Logan having almost beat Floyd, that's got to put him in the top three greatest boxers all time. That's crazy, bro.
I'm making my comeback this year. I like that comparison. Floyd Mayweather is the Mr. Beast of boxing.
Yes. He is. Floyd is the most brilliant. He's the most brilliant fighter that ever lived.
Yeah.
But for him, it's just strategy. It's like, how do I do everything to win? Right. I don't care if it's a knockout. I don't care if it's entertaining. I'm just going to win.
You think you could do some magic and get me the rest of my paycheck?
No. I don't think anybody does.
It's tough. That's gonna take the court.
I don't think
magic.
You need that. Nah, move on, man. Keep doing the good work. Keep coming up with great ideas and don't waste your time on anything that delays the creative process. Yeah, what you're doing, the reason I'm talking to you, I did like three of these in my life and they're friends. The reason I'm doing your thing is because I liked your approach to things. I think it's very, very clever.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But don't get stuck with, I need this or greedy shit. Who cares?
That's another one of Floyd's strategies, believe it or not. He knows that if he doesn't pay people, they'll just give up.
No, because what you're doing is more of a, I feel like you're trying to understand the whole, like, the algorithm of how to make, like, interesting and exciting events using YouTube. I think that's why you asked me to walk out with you, I think, right? For Floyd, I had like 10 people ask me or you've tried.
I have asked you a lot of times to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, you're my dream guest.
Well, that's not true, but thank you.
No, he told me. He said it to me.
First like 50 episodes, I was
I didn't even know that until he told me today.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was always, you know, like I said, very impressed with just your whole strategy on how do you make this. And the Floyd thing to me was like, to me, that was kind of like the coolest idea ever. Thanks, so excited. And then the thing your brother did, like,
took
his hat. But it's so simple. Dude, it doesn't hurt anybody, but it's just,
Floyd, man.
But that's
hurt his feelings.
But the way you promote fights is you do funny, crazy things. Yeah. And that was like, you nothing got more attention.
I know. Everyone knows Jake from Gotcha Hat.
He got a
He got a Gotcha Hat tattoo.
Doug, you saw that, right?
It's amazing. In the FBO. Say again. Where's the hat?
In the Smithsonian. It's in the Smithsonian.
It's with Logan's UFO footage. The button footage.
Yeah. So, did you actually want to do the show?
You mean now?
Yeah. Where are you going? Like, where do you intend on going right now?
Oh, right now. Yeah. I'm just like I said. I was gonna just go get some decks of cards, prep some things, and then come right here.
No, do you worries. Always feel kind of like a little on edge?
I think he's setting something up.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm never quite like comfortable knowing that he can just make something appear.
Happen.
Yeah, something happened.
All right. Just keep my eyes peeled.
So we'll go set up, and I'll come right back.
Okay. All right. This is great. We've never had an opening like this.
Yeah.
He caught me doing breath work.
Magicians talking about boxing. This is crazy. I'm in the right hand seat. I'm in the three slot.
We're at a table. How about that? We're at a table, dude.
Dude, only other time we've been at a high top. Episode 300.
Worst show ever.
One of the most disastrous episodes in Impulsive History. You guys remember it, obviously. Worst show ever. Also in this city.
This
is a high top type of city, dude.
Yeah. High top type of city. High tables. We're going to be gambling tonight, winning money, getting rich.
Yep. Thanks. Oh, by the way, here at Resorts World.
We're here at Resorts World.
Thanks so much to Resorts World. Ron, all the guys over at Resorts World for hooking us up with a place to do the show. We love you guys. What is it about DB, David Blaine, that you love so much? Because that wasn't a lie. You didn't make that up.
No.
You are you're a fanboy.
Massive.
Yeah.
Massive. I've been saying it first 50-100 episodes that one day my dream guest would be David Blaine. I was obsessed with magic when I was a kid.
Oh, actually?
Yeah, I did it for like 4 years.
I don't know.
What are you laughing at?
I don't know. Because I know like some of the like nerdy kids that would come to school with like, and they're like, you want to see my trick? Were you that one?
My tricks were sick.
Were they?
I could do one trick where I could take someone's ring and then make it disappear and then tie it around my shoelace, like in the loop of my shoelace. That was a cool trick of mine. I had some cool tricks, but then I realized the shit's hard and I just don't have the patience for it. Like my ADD kind of made me an anti-magician.
I mean, it's a craft. It's a real, real craft.
And my fingers bend weird. Like, watch how my fingers bend. So the sleight of hand stuff didn't really work. Like, you see how they all kind of, like, my thumbs are weird. And so I wasn't able to get the sleight of hand that a lot of magicians master. And I don't have the patience, but I will watch David Blaine.
I mean, he's a master.
He's an endurance artist. I mean, we're going to ask him about it. But I have so much respect for someone who's able to put his mind through the types of stuff he does, right?
Yeah.
Stood on a pole here. His stuff is insane.
The submersion stuff. The
being
jumping.
Buried alive for 7 days, standing in a block of ice for over 63 hours in Times Square, New York, standing on a pillar 100 feet in the air for 35 hours without a safety net. That was vertigo. Attempting to break the world record for holding his breath. He got up to like 17 minutes, floating up to the sky, holding on onto 52 helium balloons.
Up. The inspiration for the movie Up.
Yep.
If you think about it, David Blaine is the original YouTube clickbait in real life. Like a lot of these things are things that Mr. Beast, once again, then borrowed later down the line.
Yeah.
Buried myself alive for 24 hours. Like things that he did before anyone else became what social media picked up on and said, yo, this is how you get people to watch. 100%. He was the pioneer for
100%.
I just thought of this the moment when you were still doing the ring trick and magic and like your ADHD and you saw your brother Jake riding a mountain bike off a picnic table and you're like, nah, I'm actually just gonna go do that instead. Like that seems like a better fit for me.
Yeah man, I felt like being reckless and being a fucking idiot YouTuber was more my speed,
but it came back full circle. Now you're creating magic, man. Brands, like WWE stuff. Look at the people that you have, like that are I'm being serious right now, not to be a coattail riding, dick sucking, you know, whatever I get called on a daily basis. But dude, it's cool to see the Kings give you your flowers, bro.
It's crazy. I don't know what to say when they do. Like we had Ice Cube.
How do you think I feel? I'm just sitting here watching that.
We had Cube and Kevin Hart on the podcast yesterday. In one day, we had Ice Cube and Kevin Hart on the podcast. That's insane. Flew to Vegas. Now we have David Blaine on today. And when they give me kudos, I don't know what's going on.
I guess you're supposed to just say thank you. When people offer you that, especially kings of the titans of the industry, when they offer you that type of sentiment, you just say thanks. And you give them back. You know? That's it. Maybe I'd like to hopefully one day get some flowers from someone.
Yeah.
Even just real flowers.
Yeah.
Like actual flowers.
I think you need a girl. I think you need a girlfriend. Do you think you'd find one of those in Vegas, maybe? Probably not.
That would be magical.
I'm standing up for this ad read. It's a big deal and we're all over the place. NASCAR's 75th anniversary season is starting to heat up with drivers giving it all they've got to lock in a playoff spot. Just come close to the mic so you could do the noise. This weekend, NASCAR Cup Series is headed to Charlotte Motor Speedway for one of their biggest events of the year, the Coca-Cola 600. This weekend is about so much more than a race. The entire racing community rallies around this event to show respect and gratitude to the brave men and women who protect the United States. The cars get decked out with some of the sickest military-inspired paint schemes you'll ever see, and there's just a grandness to this race that's unlike any other on the schedule. If you don't have a Memorial Day weekend plans, you got to check out NASCAR. Invite the whole crew and watch NASCAR honor those who have fought and continue to fight for our freedoms by tuning into the Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday, May 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Thank you, NASCAR.
And thank you for your service.
Do the noise. Back to the show.
Can you put your...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Initials.
Kind of crumply.
On that, maybe on the white part over there. Can you fold it a few times, but never let us see the other side? I never want to see the president's face. Yeah, and keep your signature shown so we know it's yours.
Okay.
Can you hide this bill somewhere in like a pocket, somewhere that I can't get to it?
Yeah.
So like a back pocket or where?
For sure.
I don't care. Just somewhere that I cannot get to it. As I run through the cards, you just say stop. So say stop on a little pile. We need four, like there. Say stop.
Stop.
Okay, one more time. Say stop. There, more.
Stop.
There. Is that good?
Yeah, it's good.
But you're going to shuffle them more.
Done.
Turn 2 of the piles face down. 2 piles face down. Great. Now, you know, in Vegas, what they do is they kind of push them in. You know, they do like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but you're going to push these so they really go face up into face down. So you're kind of pushing them in.
Like
for
a shuffle.
Yeah, push them into each other. Push.
Yeah.
Good. Now, hold on. Let's do this to make it fair. Do you want to turn this pile or this pile? Which one? It's up to you.
Turn this one.
Flip the whole pile over. Good. And I want you to just push everything into one, all of it into one. And you agree, are the cards really being shuffled face up into face down?
It feels thorough.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you shuffled behind your back, but now you're shuffling this way. Yeah. So push them all in. Would you be impressed if every single card in the deck turns face down?
That's impossible.
It's not possible.
What if they're all face down and in order?
That's also completely impossible.
Okay, my hands are empty. Make sure I'm not doing anything.
Hold on.
Okay, that's good. Makes it harder.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. That's good. Go ahead.
Can I get it straight?
Yeah, I kind of OCD
a little bit.
But watch. Ready? Everything is now face down.
That's not possible.
Slide the card slowly across the table. Slide them slowly.
Oh! We need him! We need David Blaine!
That's what we call defeat, Blaine.
Well, no. I know what happened. If we were playing poker, this is a look at. There's four fives there. You see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Think about that.
It's a four, four of a kind.
So you shuffle behind your back, then you shuffle on the table, and there's a four of a kind. What are the odds of that, statistically speaking? 1 in 100. That what is that? So that's what just happened right now.
Well, that's cool and all, but you still fit.
Yeah, that wasn't your trick.
You screwed up, dude. But we'll allow it. You're a great story.
No, but what I said is all the cards would be face down and in order, and that is the order. Because remember, you took a bill from your pocket.
Yeah.
That was your bill.
Yeah, I remember.
And then you signed it, but we never saw the other side of it.
I don't like you. I don't know what you're saying, but I don't.
Is the serial number on the
bill? Bro, stop. Stop. Oh. Just stop, dude. Take what you're doing and stick it somewhere, bro. I don't like this. This is f***ed up.
Read it out loud. Read it out loud.
No! Come on, man. 5, 5, 5.
No!
6,
no!
5, 2, 2, 7.
No!
It's not possible.
It's not possible.
It's what just happened is not humanly possible.
No!
Name any card.
Any card.
Yep, any card, yeah.
Use reverse logic of what you're gonna do. So try to now switch it, but now quickly switch it back to what you were gonna do the first time.
5 of hearts. I knew that was going to happen, by the way, and I was just prepping to show you this thing. I knew that you were going to choose a 5 of hearts, so when I showed you the Sharpie like this, just rub it with your thumb. No, let him rub it. Take this. Go ahead, rub it. No, like this with the heat. Rub it here, like that. Yeah, that's good.
It says 5 of hearts.
God.
What the f***? And it looks like Sharpie!
I need to use one of your phones for this as well.
You don't have to open by any chance the photo album and do any kind of
No, but you can, no. Okay, so this is your phone though, correct?
Correct. It's got cheeseburgers on the
back. But I'm saying this is your phone, it's not my phone, something like that.
Correct.
Okay, so I'm gonna take a picture of the two of you together. Okay, perfect. So here, I'm gonna put this here, okay, like this, and close the wallet. Good. Now, and come over. We'll put it on top of here.
Okay.
Okay, so when we do this, you pull some halfway out. Doesn't matter. Pull some. Which one? Which one was the first? That one or this one?
Yeah, no.
Which one, Logan? This is where you make or break. This is where you make
or break. I got it.
I like that you didn't go for the obvious.
Yeah, it's not obvious.
Well, you didn't go for anything.
Don't let me see it. Let him see it. You could let them see it. Don't let me see it.
That feels like a good one.
Yeah,
watch how fast this is. Look. This is a. Put it here. Watch this. Look. Did I just do anything?
Look, according to what my card is gone.
Card is gone. Can you flip it open? Flip it open.
Flip the wallet open.
Open, yeah. Open it up. And slides. Here, look. Look. This is.
How do you do that?
Oh, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do the same trick twice. Close it. And I'm not going to touch it, okay? Is that fair? You know what? Do this. Come. But pulse. I'm going to show you how I do it. Pull some halfway out. Some. Which one?
Eight of diamonds?
Okay, fine. Or the three. Which is this one? So look, watch this. It's fine. Here. 8 of diamonds is now in the wallet.
Here's what I wanted to say quickly. What you're saying is not humanly possible.
The 8 of diamonds is in the wallet.
Can he open it this time?
Yeah.
Would be David Blaine.
No, when I say it's in the wallet, I don't mean this wallet. Remember we took a picture with the phone.
Can you open
the wallet? Look in the picture of the wallet.
Wait, that's not possible. Again, that's not possible. If the 8 of diamonds is in the photos.
No, bro, it's not possible. It's, yo, what you're doing is.
I don't understand at all.
It doesn't make any sense. How was he able to mimic a digital image inside of my locked f***ing device? Yeah. Like, the photo we took did not exist.
What, if we had looked at that photo before I chose the eight, what would have been the wallet?
My guess? The secrets to the human civilization. I have no idea. Alien, like, the video you stole with your butt.
Play on repeat.
Literally, bro, I am shell-shocked. I am absolutely shell-shocked right now.
So, hold on, I want to ask you guys a question.
No, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
How'd you do all that?
Practice repetitively forever. So I just want you to think of an object. Go to your childhood home.
Yep.
Think of something, not a person, think of something meaningful to you, but something that you can hold in your hand, and do not tell me what it is. So I'm gonna ask you to think of an object, but not something that you see here, and you see all the different things. Good, so you haven't seen something.
Not a flamingo.
And I don't want you to change this, I want you to keep this in your mind.
Okay.
And now, here's what's gonna happen. From all the cards in the deck, you know, all these objects, these will tell me what your thing is. You understand? So pull a few, and they'll tell me. Okay, three. Put them here. They will tell me. No, but you have to.
Is there any chance that this works?
No.
Okay.
Well, turn them over so we can see them. Yeah. Okay.
Come on, bro. We umbrella. Umbrella. But maybe life inflatable.
Does this mean that? Here, let's do it like this.
I can spell it.
Well, does this? Is this an umbrella?
Oh, I see what he's doing.
Oh man, he's gonna get it. He's gonna get it, Mike.
Here, wait. Just take a few. Take a few. There's a couple. Four? Yeah, it's fine. Four, a group? Hold on. Let's just see if this helps.
Nah, he's gonna get it. He got it. Look what it spells. It spells journal. That's what I was thinking of. My childhood journal. JOURNAL.
Blaine, where's your capsule secrets? Where is
it? All right, David. All right, can we do a little podcasting?
Yeah.
All right. What the fuck just happened? First off, wait, hold on.
Well, I walked in and you were doing some training, meditative breathing, and you were breathing in and out, deep, slow breath, which is what I do all the time.
Yep.
And then I interrupted you. And I said,
Here's what I was going to say after the breath work. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. Look, this episode's crazy. It's a format we've never seen before. We have David Blaine here on set. He just did a bunch of magic. But I'll be honest, Dave, you walked in and you just commandeered everything. You just took over and showed us tricks I don't understand. Like, my brain feels like it's in a mental pretzel. I was telling this to Mike, but like, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect. Maybe sometimes you have to fabricate reactions. This is the best magic I've ever seen in my life. And I guess it makes sense. You're the best magician in the world.
Thank you.
And
there's a lot of great, great magicians that are much better than me. Some are in this room.
Yeah, so David has a team of magicians all in the room. And his mentor, who won't go on camera and actually won't even perform ever, is here as well. But I mean, I don't even know where to start, David. You're incredible. You're an endurance artist. You're a magician, a top tier magician. You're an amazing performer. We came to your opening night here in Vegas. You jumping 80 feet off a ledge onto cardboard boxes. The other week, you broke your or dislocated your shoulder doing it. Popped it back in in the middle of the show and continued the performance. Because I see these clips on Twitter. Also, you have the one where you have the cups and the nail under the cups, and You hit the nail once on accident?
Yep, by mistake. My daughter was here and she came running up to the stage like I'd seen a ghost. But by the way, that took me out for 40 seconds. The dislocated shoulder stopped the show for about 30 minutes. But there was an orthopedic surgeon convention in Vegas. Five surgeons came onto the stage and popped it back into place. That's which sick. Was mind-blowing. That's One sick. Was a shoulder specialist. So I owe them big time.
You didn't make any deals with the devil or anything like that.
No. What I was trying to explain to you guys is what magic is very straightforward. It's just practice, repetition, failure, math, logic, science, performance, all put into one incredible art form that I've been in love with my whole life, as have most of my dear magician friends. And that's all consuming. And then the other part that I like is, as a kid, I would watch Harry Houdini do these death-defying escapes and challenges, and I was always inspired by him in a different kind of way. And I like the idea of not just the magic tricks, but like kind of putting together real and magic and mixing them. And those are the guys I was drawn to. And I feel like as a kid, I didn't have magic kids because I grew up in Brooklyn, a single mother. So the magic that I learned was always stuff that I could relate to. So it was things that you could do with the human body, things that you with the deck of cards, simple objects. And I've never left that path, I guess.
But you also introduced an interesting new vertical to magic, which was how you present it visually and digitally to a internet audience or a broadcast audience. Watching you today is insane. Watching him not only focus on how he manipulates us or how he provides magic to us, but also watching him puppeteer an entire group of people who are filming in a certain way or viewing in a certain way. You're not a magician, you're a director at the highest level. It's mind-blowing to watch how you control so many different aspects of the craft at one time.
He's a conductor.
Conductor.
He's a conductor.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So you pioneered a lot of that space, would you say, right?
Like street magic stuff.
Yeah, it was different back in the day because, you know, the only camera crew that was around would be your own camera crew. But so getting the trick and the reaction in one shot was, you know, something I was always obsessed with. How do you do that without a cut? But now every single person has a phone. So when you do magic, there's every single direction. And so now the magic had to change, you know? So it's a fun, I like the switch. I like that, the challenge never stops.
That is so interesting. Cause someone could just go home and like play it in slow motion and see like maybe where the card is or how you did your trick. You make me feel like I don't have free will.
Which is definitely not true.
Are you sure?
Yeah, definitely not true.
Okay, cause how did you get that 8 to appear in the picture inside your wallet?
No, that one is that's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Because the problem with that trick is we both are sentient human beings. We have consciousness, right? I know what happened. He knows what happened. We were both there.
I was there, yeah.
And we took the picture with nothing in the wallet, like together, friends, showed the world, and the picture developed with the fucking card, man. So what, I'm not asking you to explain it, but like, how do you expect us to now go out of this room and continue living? Does that make sense?
No, I mean, that's why I like what you do, because it's very, you know, you take what there is and then study the history of it, study the greats, hang out with the people that are the best in the world, and then you process it and make it your own. And that's part of the fun, you know, that's the excitement of it.
I don't even know like where to go with this or like what to do. You blew my mind, and now I see why we did the magic. This podcast is fucking lame.
Bro. We need to do magic on every podcast. Yeah.
No. Okay. But you're also an endurance artist. I think. Oh, the first time I met you,
the cryogenic chamber, right?
Yeah. No. So there was one time before. I don't know if you remember. That was like the official meeting. And you were preparing for your up stunt.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were freezing yourself in the cryo chamber for like 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah, just because it was supposed to be 0 degrees up there. But that wasn't a difficult part of it.
What was the difficult part about jumping from space?
The difficult part was because the FAA was there and because I started to go hypoxic, they started to remote pop the balloons with a squib. So I couldn't go. I wanted to go higher than anything on Earth. So I wanted to go as high as Mount Everest, which is 29,072 feet. And again, they were pop, 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 pop. So I couldn't keep going up. So I was stuck at 25,000 feet and I had to jump. So that was what bummed me out. But then when I watched it back, I did realize that they were right in the sense that I was going hypoxic. But you don't know you're going hypoxic.
Yeah. You know? No, you push your body. But the first time that I unofficially met you was like this intimate gathering. I think it was for some billionaire. And you did the frog trick. And afterwards, you did a little Q&A. And I said, hey, David, if you know someone in this room wanted to do the frog trick, like how would they go about doing it?
I remember that. Oh, wow.
That was me.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah, it was a Peter Thiel thing.
That was it. That was
Peter Thiel. Wow.
Some billionaire.
That's amazing. You were there. That's when I first started working on that.
Yeah, when it was going crazy, and you did it live, dude, in front of
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse?
the federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Man, there was probably 30 people in that room. I couldn't believe he. This was also the most impressive part about it. He drank like 10 bottles of water in 3 minutes beforehand and then throw up the frogs.
Yeah, I could put up to a gallon of water in my stomach, and then I can keep that in the stomach for enough time at the right temperature that the frogs are very comfortable, and I create an aquarium in my stomach.
But that's not magic.
No. So the guy, there was a guy that did it a century ago named Mac Norton, the human aquarium, and Harry Houdini wrote about him doing it.
Okay.
And when I read Harry Houdini writing about Mac Norton and Miracle Mongers in the book that he wrote, I went, oh, well, this guy must have really been doing it, because he's not going to fool Houdini backstage, you know? So that was enough of a justification from a century ago to a trick that disappeared to think, oh, well, maybe there's a way to do it. And then I just, he took his secrets to the grave. So I literally started by just finding the best frogs that are the least toxic, they're the most durable, which ended up being frogs. Northern leopard frogs. And then I just started putting them in my mouth just to get comfortable and make sure they were okay. And I realized that they actually, they can rest at comfort and everything is fine, but some of them have salmonella. So I got really sick the first time. Then I didn't try it for a couple of weeks. I did it again. It was really, really tough. And then finally, I went and got a fluoroscopy, and I realized that you could actually make an aquarium in your stomach, and you could have koi fish, creatures, or anything live there.
I always wondered that.
Yeah,
and I never wondered that.
And then they
conversation with the doctor go? Like, hey, so did the results come back from the fluoroscopy?
A fluoroscopy.
Am I able to produce an aquarium for koi fish in my stomach or no? Like, imagine being that doctor and be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, you couldn't. So I had to say that I swallowed something by mistake. Because otherwise they can't really just do a fluoroscopy. So I said, I think I got something stuck in my stomach. And then we did the fluoroscopy, and she's like, well, there's a bunch of living creatures like moving around in your stomach. And I went, oh, so this can work. And then I realized that you could just have them come up one at a time on their own.
You told me after I asked you if I could do the trick, you said I wouldn't recommend it. That was what you said. Then I pushed back.
And I think a lot of the guys that did the real stuff that was crazy, I think they took their secrets to the grave specifically because they didn't want other people to do it, because they didn't want other people to harm themselves or doing it. So there's a rhyme and reason to why, you know, I say to people, the best thing that you can do if you're curious about becoming a magician is practice card tricks. And as you see, we did all card tricks there.
Nobody got hurt.
But that's the stuff people like the most, by the way. Like, the card tricks are the things that people, or, you know, the straightforward magic is, ironically, my show has that in it. But I like doing the jumping from 9 stories or doing all the different things. But really, the audience is the happiest when it's the simple magic and the people's reactions up on stage.
Yeah, but I don't know, like the glass eating, the needle through different parts of your body, like actual body. It just doesn't feel like magic. It feels real.
Well,
that's why I say you're an endurance artist, essentially. Like, didn't you go around finding people who could regurgitate water like a waterfall almost?
Yeah, I traveled to Africa to find a guy that was on YouTube on one small video that went viral, but it took me forever to find him because it was shot by a missionary and he was living in a mud hut. So it took us 5 years to track him down. Then I finally found him and spent a couple of weeks learning from him. And then I learned it.
See, that dedication. Hey,
he was there. He was there with me.
That dedication is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And also just like, not only like devoting yourself to the craft, but also like, I'm just so curious about this like community of magicians. And like you were talking about, you're like, oh, he never would have been able to fool Houdini backstage. Like is it almost like comics? Like, what would you compare it to the most, this like community that you exist in?
I think it's a pretty amazing field, because if a magician, it could be one guy that sits in a basement in the middle of nowhere And if he works really hard on one move, he'll find somebody. And that somebody will take him to one of my magician friends. Then my magician friend will be like, oh, you got to see this kid that does this move.
Yeah.
And then I'll see the move. And then that kid will become part of the team, or he'll be traveling with
I
us
love
or
that.
Come to the show.
Yeah.
And any magician that's really good, that works really hard, can be in any part of the world, and other great magicians will host him, put him up, take him. So there is an incredible community of magicians.
Is there equity in the trick itself? Like, if you see a new trick, does it get around in the magic community? Like, this up-and-comer has got a crazy
exactly,
one.
Exactly, yeah.
Like I watched The Prestige. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies. And they had the twin trick, right? The teleporting man.
Right.
And it was like the trick. Do you have, or have you seen a trick recently that is just blows your mind, that not even you, David Blaine, know what's going on?
I mean, there's tons of that. I mean, we just found a kid. I was in Indonesia, I think. And we found a kid that just did this incredible, mind-blowing stuff and was willing to share the secrets. And he's actually flying to Vegas to come.
What'd he do?
Work with the team. Well, I'm not going to spill it, but.
What's the closest you've ever been to death? Because you're toeing the line, I feel like, frequently.
No, this show should be once a year. Because normally the stunt guys that do that kind of jump, it's not something they would do once or twice a month. It's something you would do once a year.
I was wondering when I saw you do
that's
it,
a problem.
How you were going to replicate
right.
it.
That's
like,
right.
Frequently.
That's a problem. And by the 10th show, I've been seriously injured three of them.
Oh, you got a pretty serious hit rate on the injuries.
It's just the show itself.
It's like a third of the time. Yeah. Just getting...
Do you keep adding new stuff in more for the pursuit of pushing your own limits and learning magic to, you know, grow your legacy, or for the actual show from a business standpoint? Like, are you still completely enthralled in magic as a hobby and as a passion?
Oh yeah, that's all I do.
Got
that's
it.
All I think about. That's my, I mean, other than with my daughter, everything being full time. But as a magician, that is the drive. That's the love. That's the passion. I think same as what you do, which is just, you're always coming up with ideas that excite you. That, you know, it's not like you do this, oh, what's the business model? You do it like, this is what I need to do.
It's just so interesting because you're right. Like, that energy, I think, fuels anyone who is great in a vertical. Like, they love what they do. They really love what they do. It's like kind of all they think about. But I said this when you were away. I did magic, dude, for years when I was a kid, which is why I think I became such a fan, because I wanted to be a magician, like
that's funny.
Genuinely for a while, but then I got like bored of it and impatient. Like, I didn't have the patience to learn the tricks,
right,
and stick with this craft, because I liked it, but I didn't love it.
You need lots of patience, and it's you're talking about, you know, my friend, I told you, worked on one move. It would be 6-8 hours a day on one move, over and over and over, for years and years before he shares. I'm a little different in the sense that I come up with an idea, or I have friends that help me brainstorm ideas, or I'm inspired by something. I start playing with it right away and I put it into play and
I start trying.
And pretty aggressively. Yeah. And then I fail. And then it starts to make sense. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, what if I had this? Oh, what if it becomes? And so it grows and it evolves quickly, which I think is more current with how things are today, whereas back in the old days, so the old school magicians, like, you have to practice in the mirror, you spend years before you go out and try the trick, and then when you're finally sure, it's perfect. But I feel like that doesn't allow the natural evolution of the interactive part of the trick, and that's
so important.
That's what I'm most intrigued by.
The reaction from, would you rather get a crazy reaction from a audience at Resorts World at a show, or from your favorite fellow magician in the community?
I like all of it.
Really?
Yeah, we all like to mess with each other. That's a big part of the fun. So the thing I did to your friend with the Nine of Diamonds, that's a trick that's meant for magicians. So those are the type of things that we like to do.
Oh, okay.
You know, the one that you did with him.
Yeah.
Those are like magician foolers, you know.
Are you ever like scared to death before you do try something for the first time? Like, what's the most scared
you've ever been before one of your tricks?
No, I usually, I'm so excited by the idea, and then I come up with the backwards process of how do you learn it. So I don't, fear doesn't play into it. It's more of a problem solve. It's like, oh, I want to do this. How do I do this? Oh, well, there's a guy that was able to hold his breath apparently for 10 minutes. There's a kid that trapped himself under a frozen river and was no air for 45 minutes. Oh, there must be a scientific explanation for this. Now let me backward, you know, try to understand the process and slowly test it and then slowly assemble a great team and then do the research, read the medical papers and eventually come up with a way.
I'm going to try to voice what I'm, this thought I'm having right now, but I think part of the reason I found you so and find you so inspiring and a lot of people do as well is the way you just described reverse engineering a feat of human nature makes it feel kind of like anything is possible. Whereas I would have thought that a regular person can't hold their breath for 17 minutes. Like you just happen to be that guy that can do that because you're have a lung capacity,
right.
But you like taught yourself how to do it. You taught yourself and pushed yourself to do these crazy feats of human endurance. And I'm wondering, do you think that to do some special and certain and significant things, you have to be born with it?
I think what you just said is dead on.
You just work.
No, you just work really hard. Failure doesn't stop you. You push as hard as you can. You learn, you try, you practice, you push a little further, you find more little clues onto how you can do this thing, and you don't give up because it might take you 20 years to get there, which many of my things did.
That's so long. Have you seen the meme? Have you seen the meme of the two guys digging for diamonds?
No.
There's this meme. I just sent it to my boy.
Where he's like 1 inch away from the...
Yeah, it's about persevering and never realize how close you are to your goals, because if you keep going and going and going, but 20 years is so long that I don't think a lot of people are willing to spend that amount of time to hit their goal. Because at what point does it feel futile? Your efforts feel futile.
But that's great.
But it's good, right? But you kept going and you hit the diamonds after 20 years.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, no, the process, it never stops. It's you just keep going. And that's what's great about magic is it's like there's so many secrets and so many discoveries that it just never ever slows down.
Do you know what the biggest thing and the reason why he's able to do the stuff is? He talked about this like backwards thinking, critical approach, scientists, finding the right team, you know, practice. I bet you, well, we know for a fact, he goes into every one of those new feats with the attitude of I can do this. I've seen it get done and I can do this. But
it's like a relentless perseverance.
But it has to start, right, with the belief, that real deep-seated belief inside you that you can actually get it done.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
If there's even a shred of doubt, 1% of doubt in your mind that you can't do it,
no,
you might not ever get it done.
I agree with that. And my theory is what you said before. I believe something is done by one, it can be done by others. Mm-hmm. So I don't look at something and say, oh, only this. But no, I say, oh, wait, how was that possible?
Okay, so question, not to offend your friend, but we were talking about Alex Honnold. Do you think if you worked hard enough, you could free solo El Capitan?
No, I'm not going to mess with him. No way.
But how do you decide what to latch onto and just go for it? Like, have you had anywhere you just
But
gave
by
up?
The way, Alex would be the first to tell you if somebody starts and trains and works hard and is very, you know, careful about what they're doing in the process, that they will eventually figure out how to get there. And it looks insane what you see him do, but he's really cut it down to the deepest understanding of his core in a way that I think, you know, a magician would be with a deck of cards or somebody, you know, it's a science.
It's in his DNA now.
And also his body is formed for it. You know, when you look at, I give him a deck of cards, once you look at his hands on a deck, the fingers, and he won't take the powder off, and it's like the fingers are meant for digging into rocks. Yeah. You know,
he's evolved in a way. Yeah, he's hand, evolved into yeah, a from rock all climbing
the, yeah,
species.
From all of the pushing in. So his fingers aren't like this. They're like meant to into
right,
it. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's crazy. Would you ever think about climbing with him?
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of that, but I usually So for what I do, I usually like to find, yes, but not like he does that, you know, but what I like to do is I like to find the magic part of, let's say, what he does and say, how would this relate to magic? Like to something that would excite me as a performer or as an endurance guy or whatever.
And resonate with your audience as well.
Yeah. Or just something that would get me that feels unique to me, you know?
Yeah.
Today I watch you manipulate cards, manipulate my mind, a room full of people.
You're not really manipulating with cards. It's like you've just understood it so deeply that you know what you're trying
well,
to
that's,
do.
Well, that's what, yeah, I'm saying. Like watching you, it's very clear you have this like weird understanding of human psychology and an ability, an uncanny ability to read the room. Like literally, like you're paying the fuck attention.
Oh, you could read minds. Imagine how good he could probably gaslight.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Gaslight the shit out of
people. He's gaslighting us right now, bro.
But you're not reading. It doesn't have to do with that. It's just that if you've done something 10,000 times, which is me with cards, you kind of know.
Comes muscle memory in a way.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you always want to have a family?
Well, as soon as you have a daughter, your whole, the way you think about everything changes because you guys just watched her on something she's been working on.
And
what I learned by having a daughter is that the female brain and the ability to focus is much greater than the male brain. Because when I'm practicing magic or something, I'll take breaks, I'll get distracted, but she'll go 4 hours and she doesn't want to pause. She doesn't want to take a sip of water. She doesn't want to look at a phone. Nothing will distract her. So I have a very, you know, incredible respect for her that I watch her do things I've never been able to do. And she's 12.
It's insane. I just watched her. She's wildly impressive. And the talent obviously runs in the family.
I was just imagining her watching these feats. That was a part of the balloon one, right? Like her reactions to it happening.
Yeah.
Did you have to rethink how far you were willing to go for a feat once you had a life form that you brought into the world?
Well, what I did is I had to do 500 jumps in a very short span of time, I think like 6 months before doing the real event when she was going to come in for it. So I did 12 jumps a day repetitiously. That's where I started to mess up the shoulders from PLFing over and
PLFing.
Over.
PLFing.
Yeah, repetitively.
Yep.
But I did the jumps, got the pro rating, which then allowed me to jump over any congested area. I would jump and land in the back lot of a Walmart. And so by the time she came, I knew that I wasn't going to have any real issues per se.
But it's just funny because I talk to these people like that, you know, have been traveling with DJs for 25 years. And they're like, dude, I used to get on any jet. It didn't matter if it had a engine in it. If it took off, it could land, I'd get in it. Then I had a kid. Now I don't feel safe ever.
Yeah, that's right. That changes everything.
Yeah.
You're careful.
Yeah.
That's right. You don't want to die.
Yeah, you can't die.
And Houdini died at 52 doing a water breath hold.
I thought he got punched in the stomach or something.
He did before, and then he should have gone to the hospital because he didn't feel so great. But instead, he did his show, did the water tank, did the breath hold, collapsed when he came off the stage, was rushed to the hospital, and then he died. So I've promised my daughter I won't let the show kill me. So even though it seems crazy, I am being careful.
This might be a little twisted question, but do you have a vision for like a final act, the last act of David Blaine?
Yeah,
I'm sure you do.
Yeah,
is it incredible?
And also, what is it?
I can tell you that the one thing I can tell you is it's the culmination of everything that I've ever worked on my entire life, all put together into one final piece.
That's the prestige.
I don't like the combo stuff. Because you just said 2 minutes ago, Houdini got punched in the stomach.
And then, you know what I'm saying?
True. The combo shit is when it starts to scare me a little bit. Yeah.
And when you look at the like secret little assembly of everything, like, so this show is called In Spades, right?
Yep.
So this is like all of them, Drowned Alive, but like all of them. Cool. And this show is called In Spades. So the last
one. Oh.
Yeah.
The last one starts with an N?
Yeah.
Is it numerous?
No.
Dude, no way. Okay. Do you think of the trick? Can I say what I'm looking at?
Yeah, you could say, yeah.
Huh?
What?
So each of his major tricks, his name serves, David Blaine serves as an acronym. B in Blaine being buried alive, E at the end of Blaine being electrocution, yeah. V in David for vertigo. And all the other ones. And there's the I and the N have yet to be filled in.
Well, the I is right there in spades.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so there's an N left, and that's the final one.
You got to have a crazy relationship with pain, physical pain.
I mean, I think we all do, you know. No, it's not true. It used to be called bite the bullet before we had all the painkillers. If your arm got blown off by a cannon, they'd have to use a red hot iron to seal it so you don't bleed to death, and you would bite the bullet, right? So it's just, we have the ability to, and women have been given, you know, birth millions of, and with no epidural, no, right. And they say that that's one of the most painful things we can experience, but our ability to override it is wired within us for millions and millions of years. So,
and it strangely always comes back here. Like it always comes back here at the end of the day.
And you know, I think people ask me, oh, you push the ice with your arm. And I think I just kind of connect to it. I think I kind of just focus on what I'm going through and accept it as opposed to fight it, you know?
See, I feel like I could do these things, but I know that if I stab my arm with the ice pick, I'll end up in the ICU.
I don't think that's true. But yeah, I don't recommend it. That's right. Don't do it.
There's a rhyme and a reason to it. As you said, it's calculated.
Is it true?
But there's some things that I won't go near. Like just now when I was in India, but these guys aren't going to be able to see, you know, they're messing themselves up. But, I watched a bunch of guys that just do things like this, you know, that just pull their eyes out of their heads.
No, because you got to keep your eyes in your head.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Right. So, I got a friend, Jeff Wittick, somewhere. He tried that trick also.
This
didn't end very well for him.
You're just doing stuff, huh? You're just doing crazy stuff. So if you see guys like David Copperfield, Chris Angel, is it on site?
Nah, I love everybody, what they do. I think and what they do is all magic and it's great. You know, I think luckily we all do different things. So there's room for everybody. And I don't say, this or that. I think it's amazing.
But you are Jordan, though, of the space.
That guy, nobody is Jordan of anything. That guy is the most amazing athlete, everything on the planet.
The GOAT. The GOAT of GOAT, yeah.
Yeah. There's nobody like that, man.
Not even LeBron. Planet. Not even LeBron.
Everybody says that LeBron is mind-blowingly incredible, but for me, just growing up, Jordan is like, to me, mind-blowing. Yeah.
Those threes at the end of the game, those clutch threes where he just, I've never seen anything like that in sports in my entire life.
Not just that, but he's just on every level. Like even when I do magic to him, just the way he is, it's an immediate challenge.
Yeah.
And it's always, you know, it's like game on. Even if I'm doing a card trick to him, you know.
I was going to ask about that. You perform in front of the coolest people in the world. One of my favorite specials of yours was the performing in front of celebrities. And you've done this a lot, but what was the... There was one where it was like just doing tricks for celebrities. And it was one of those things where, and this is, I think, how people react to you is like, David Blaine did it again. Like there he is. He's been in the lab. He's cooking up his tricks. He comes out with an amazing special. Do you have someone who you love performing for? You were maybe a little bit nervous, and has there been a favorite reaction?
I mean, there's so many incredible reactions from so many. And it's funny because everybody that I meet when we're shooting, we usually shoot hours. But because it's ABC, I only put together like a 1 minute clip of each person. But the other, you know, 3 hours of footage is just amazing. It's just that they're long process, you know. So, but yes, there's so many incredible people, and the reactions. I keep a stoic face when I'm doing magic, but... Yeah, that's what drove me. When I was 5 years old, I told you I grew up with a single mother in Brooklyn, and she gave me a deck of cards and I carried it everywhere, but I didn't know what to do with it. And I would wait for her to pick me up at the library, and the librarian walked me through a very simple self-working magic trick with this book that she had. And I did it to my mother. And that was the first great reaction. She went running away
the
screaming.
Best reaction.
And
the
I
best
realized,
song.
Oh, wow, with a simple cartridge, you could change her whole day. You could go from a tough day to a cartridge. So I wanted to learn more. And I would do magic to her and all the time. To this day, that's my favorite reaction.
Your mother.
But that's trick. Also what drove me to love reactions. But to this day, her reactions were still the best.
Dude, watching you remain stoic while people are just freaking yeah, out.
It just adds such
hilarious. Yeah. I saw it do it to us real time. Have you ever seen the David Blaine parodies?
Yeah, yeah. Those guys are great.
Street Magic
They're
guys.
On SNL after
SNL.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mikey Day is on SNL right now. But we were just talking about it. You guys want to see some magic?
How'd we stack up in terms of our reactions? Were we closer to the
no,
better?
No, you guys are amazing. Yeah, but I knew that.
But it's also not, but it's also, I don't look at it as a reaction per se. It's, I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm scared. I'm worried. I'm pissed off. We're not play. There's nothing being played up or anything like that. I want to know. Still, I'm going to walk out of this room 10 years from now, 20 years from now. I'm going to want to know how you created a photo that I did not take and put it on my phone.
So the other night on stage, I had this couple on stage, and I sewed my mouth together, and I'm about to start a card trick, but his reactions were so funny that I was trying my hardest to not laugh. Yeah, because my mouth is sewn together. Sorry.
I wanted to ask you on the mental side really quick, going back to your tolerances. I read that you've experienced some pretty mind-blowing hallucinations during some of these feats.
Extreme.
Can you describe some of that?
I mean, first of all, I think Native American Indian, I think they sometimes practice sleep deprivation for the purpose of finding those hallucinations. And usually for me, when I'm 55 hours of being awake, no micro sleeps and no food in an extreme situation of duress, I go into these incredible but scary hallucinogenic states where your eyes are open because you're awake, you can't go to sleep, and your brain is trying to sleep. So you start having all these dreams, and many of them are nightmares and dreams, but you can't tell if it's real or not. And it's unbelievable, but it's very scary. And whenever I do these endurance stunts, I need very close friends.
Handlers.
And they have to talk me through it, because it gets really bad sometimes. Because basically what happens is your brain, your body needs to go to sleep. So your willpower is fighting your brain, but your brain knows that your body needs to go to sleep because the brain, the immune system, everything during those times, you know, that's the most fundamental, most important thing that we have. I think, you know, sleep, breathing, water, right? So your brain is trying to convince you to go to sleep. And how does it do that? It takes your biggest fears, the things that you fear the most, and you start to see them all over. You see it all over your body. You see it everywhere.
What's that movie called? Bird Box?
It's unbelievable.
Sandra Bullock? Yeah. Is that how that...
You get bird boxed.
Yeah, by yourself.
I haven't seen it, but...
It's a great movie.
Yeah, but it's... Shout out MGK. So it's a place that I would never go without very careful supervision, but that state is unbelievable.
Well, there's a lot of studies that have shown that, or people believe at least, theorize that the hallucinogenic state that you're able to reach through sleep deprivation or meditation is actually far greater than any hallucinogenic state from LSD or psilocybin or ayahuasca. Right. It's actually the highest level of hallucination.
So pick a deck for me, one for you. It doesn't matter. Open the box. Open them. Do you want? Here, you can shuffle them or not. And you can make, which deck do you want to use for this, yours or mine?
I'll use mine. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so the technique on it. Well, here, try to rip yours in half. Just right down the middle.
I'm not sure I can. Oh, fuck. Can I do that?
Nope. Just... on one block. It's hard.
Now I'm getting pissed off.
Can I twist it as one block?
You have to. There's no other way to do it. You agree it's pretty hard.
I would say it's really fucking hard.
Try. So this doesn't have to do with strength. This is basically.
Wow. Wow. You're stronger than me.
Why'd they say you can't fight Mike Tyson?
Wow.
Force friction?
Bro, what was that?
Did you use force friction for that?
No.
No force.
Did you use the fact that you kind of look like Jeff Goldblum to make that happen? I just fucking realized that at the end of the show.
No.
I hear that all the time, by the way.
Park. I think T-Rex is going to come out of nowhere right now.
There's a couple that I hear. Yeah. That one's funny.
You gotta tell us how you do one trick, because like I said before, we're highly considering roughing you up.
So do this.
We're not roughing him up. He'll rip you in half.
But you know how, here, look. So what I want you to do is you're going to pick up a bunch, put them on bottom. Pick up a bunch, put them on bottom. So try that. Give it a cut. Pick up a bunch, put them on bottom. Yeah, watch them don't spill. Do it again.
Bunch, put them
without on dropping them. Yeah, keep them neat. Pick up. Let a me bunch, ask you a question. Hold on, bottom. But wait. Could you? Yeah, keep them neat so they don't spill.
They're neat.
Can you do it under the table again? To keep your hands. Do it under the table. Keep your hands. You can make them neat first. All right. Pick up a bunch.
Pick up a bunch, put them on bottom.
And keep your hands under.
Under.
Okay, then take a piece, either the top or bottom, and hide it under your leg. Don't let anybody see it. Take a piece and hide it.
Okay.
You did that? Yeah. Hide it. No one, he didn't see it?
Nah, I didn't see shit.
He doesn't see anything.
And you agree these were all mixed, everything.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I put it on top, put it on bottom.
You shuffled before we even cut them, right? Correct?
I did.
You agree it's not like there's an order, nothing like that.
There's no order.
This is a small deck at this point.
You got a 50% of a card.
Yeah, but I'm saying here, you can mix here. Let's do like this.
Oh, man.
Mix them like this.
It's just
mix them.
It's chaos incarnate is what this is.
So do this for me. Just pull out.
He's not good at that.
Pull out some. Oh. Yeah. Funny. You went for you went for the Jack of Spades, your card from before.
Was that?
So, but you took that face up. So when you chose that face up, you made a deliberate choice.
It wasn't deliberate.
Oh, really? You just randomly chose it? When I was going face up, you went with that one, not the eight. But the one that you took under the table.
Yeah.
You don't even know what you took.
I have no idea.
I mean, nobody knows what he took because you mixed them under the table and you pulled out a piece at random and hit it under your leg.
Did you do that?
So you have half of a card here, but then you have half that you're sitting on that nobody's ever seen.
No one's seen it.
I haven't seen it. Uh-uh. You haven't seen it.
What you're getting to is actually impossible. There's no way that the half that I'm about to take from under my leg is going to match up and be a Jack of Spades. Yeah. Is it?
What?
Oh, it's fucking weird, David. It's weird how you can do these things.
You've made me hungry. That's all I feel right now is hunger, dude. Yeah, this is you've pushed the boundaries of space time. Do you have a capsule of secrets on the moon with Joe Rogan? Be honest. Did you build the pyramids?
You did this.
You did this.
Are you religious?
Yeah, I believe, my mother used to say, the last word she said to me is God is love. And I believe, and like she did, I think all religions lead up a mountain in the same peak as, taking the best of what we as humans are capable of in the spiritual part of our journey. I believe the Abraham Lincoln theory, he says, which is the most human part of it all. From my point of view, is he said, when I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad. And that's my religion. So I think the most that we can try to push each other and inspire each other and not all go against each other and not try to take each other down. And that's what I love about magic, is it's the great, you could take any division and it blurs the line. It doesn't, there's no barrier, there's no language. Mm. You can go anywhere in the world and you can suddenly see the best in all people. And that's the beauty of magic, is that simple feature that all magicians, I think, are drawn to or understand, which is like, it is an incredible way to see the best side of humanity.
Totally. Totally.
Wow.
Beautiful, David Blaine.
That was incredible.
I mean, that's just an amazing episode, David. Unbelievable. You came in our show and flipped it on its head.
Well, it's his show.
It's your show, David Blaine. You guys, he has a show this next weekend in Vegas.
June 2nd.
In spades, here in Vegas.
Yep.
I said that.
Resorts World.
Dave,
I you're one of those people that when you meet, you're just
only my brother calls me Dave. So now you and my brother.
We're brothers. We're brothers.
That's right, Dave.
Nah, the time was amazing. Exceeded my expectations. The tricks are incredible. They're fucking awesome. And this has been such a delight, dude. So thank you. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This is real delight for me.
Good, guys. Hey, let us know what you thought about that episode. The format was all over the place. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button for us. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.